And if you don't return to me, you will suffer the consequences. This is why he tells us in Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent, turn from their evil ways, and call upon me, I will forgive them their sins, and I will heal their land. And we see that over and over, don't we? We see here in Micah how God then told Micah not only to give warnings, but that as those warnings were given, that we find that people did not allow them or think about them. So let us turn in our scriptures for today to Luke 15, chapter 15, verses 11 through 24, and let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and a younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them to his livelihood. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted all his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a great famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when his father, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We look at this, and we find that the parable of the son is like so many people today. The people that want to think they're doing good, they want to think that they're doing the thing in their own way. You see today with the pandemic going on, and I'm not saying it's not serious. It is serious. We have to be concerned. There's a couple of things that we many people don't realize and know. And if you have a virus of a cold, you have the virus, and they place you in saying you have the virus. They don't say necessarily you have the virus 19, which is very deadly. You could have. But they place all of the people that have a virus under that flag. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. We have to be concerned for our health, for the health of our neighbor. and for the health of our community and for our state and for our country. Micah was warned by God through Micah to give a stiff, stern warning to his people as well as to us. And in it, Micah ends up so very wonderfully in that. And as he delivered that stern warning, then he says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity? Can you imagine all that we have done against you, and yet you are not angry? You're saying, 'I will forgive you because I love you. I will forgive you if you follow me. I will forgive you if you do what I tell you to do.'" And we find that this is a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of justice, a God of kindness, a God of compassion. And we find that God has passed over the remnants of the sin of his people, including us as Christians. God has warned us, and he warns us again and again. And in Paul telling us in the book of Romans, in chapter 2, we should really go back and read about the last 5 or 6 verses of chapter 1, because chapter 2 is talking about that. And Paul says, "You are inexcusable," because the end of chapter 1 talks about how man knows about God and knows what God wants and knows that God is right and just, and they know all this. Yet it says, man desired man and woman desired woman, and they want to get as many people as they can to do the homosexuality clauses and live a life today in the world of pleasure and maybe wantonness. The other night I woke up about 3 in the morning. And sometimes it scares me when I do this. I woke up, I went to sleep, I went to sleep, and I woke up about 3, and a thought was in my mind. And it scares me when some of these things happen. I seen the third seal, which says famine. Famine in the land, famine in the Word of God, famine because we do not want to live for anybody but ourselves. You see, in that famine, we can have a famine of food, we can have a famine of God's Word, and a famine of truth, so very, very plainly. As I looked at it, and as I thought about the third seal, it tells us that as the rider on the horse comes, there will be a great famine. In that famine, it says, a day's wages for a quart of wheat, or a day's wages for 2 quarts of barley, for a loaf of bread, or thereabouts. We find today that there are people that want to give vaccinations. And in those vaccinations, they would have something put in that chip or in that vaccination that they could follow you any place in the world. But it has to keep social distancing of 6 feet or more. If there was 5 people in a group and one of them had not been vaccinated, and in a group they couldn't tell who it was, but if you were 6 feet or more apart, they could pick out the one that hadn't been vaccinated. They want everybody to be vaccinated and receive a chip. And in that chip, They would be able to track you and everything you do and where you go. Is that the mark? I don't know. But the saying is, and the way they want it is that if you don't take the vaccination, you are an alien to the country and to the world, and we shouldn't have to take care of you. And Mark moves you over. We are today, I believe, at the beginning where Jesus says, just before I come, it'll be like a woman in birth pains, false labor, birth pains. And we see that. It isn't false labor necessarily. Jesus says, when you see these signs beginning, I am at the door, and I will open up the door and come through. We are at the end of the end times. How do we tell our loved ones? You must have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. How do we tell our loved ones, or tell ourselves or our friends? If you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, as Paul says, you're inexcusable. God will render to each one what he has done, good or bad, when you stand before him in judgment. And as we see, even in this prodigal son, we give it, usually this is the parable of the prodigal son, but maybe it should be called the love of the Father, the compassion of God. Because we see how that prodigal son, and we see it in the world today, how the people want what they can get. They want to have parties. They want this and they want that. In my vision when I woke up, or my thoughts, in that third seal, there's a famine, but do not hurt the oil and the wine. What does that tell you? It tells me very plainly we need oil for our machines. We need oil for electricity and all of these things. Oil is a very important product in which the world needs to operate. We need the wine or the liquor stores. When this pandemic started, they closed down almost everything. They closed the churches. And then they said the liquor stores are essential and we need to keep them open. The question came, why? They ignored the question. Now, yesterday I had heard the governor of Florida and the governor of Texas had said, we're closing the liquor stores, but we want to keep the churches open. Because we don't have social distancing in the liquor stores, and they become inebriated and they go out and do their thing. We need to have the churches open so they can pray, so people can gather. Yet, even in this community, with the virus not so great maybe, but we don't see people coming to the Lord. We don't see people saying, what does God want me to do? They say, the virus, I must do this or that. I have to be careful. I have to keep my distance from you. I have to wear a mask. I have to make sure I stay home. I can't go about and do the things like I used to do. Our normal will not be normal as we once knew it. The prodigal son went out and he had a good time until he ran out of money. Then all his friends left him. It says there was a famine in his land. That famine could be in your heart or in my heart. That could be our faraway country. That as that famine is there, it's because we do not read the Word of God, we do not pray, we do not get together with other Christians and talk about the things God wants us to hear and talk about. We think we know better. We think we can do it on our own. God says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And God wants us to not only pray for each other, he wants us to meditate, to assemble, and to live in such a way that people would see God's righteousness in us and that they would glorify him. We see here in Romans very well where Paul is talking about that God will render to those who did good, he will render eternal life. To those who did bad, they have eternal damnation or separation from God. Paul tells us that those who believe as they have eternal life, they should also be willing not only to pray, but to live in such a way that the people around them will be able to see Christ in them. They can be the shining light of the world. And in the shining light of the world, they also are bold in stating the fact that God is the one that watches over them and keeps them. We find that this son went out in rebellion. He is the son, or like the people that don't have Jesus Christ. They're dead to the world. Today we have young people, and many of them say, "What is in it? What's in it for me? Why should I try to save something for my future when the world is going haywire in the first place?" And so many of them have turned away from Christ, away from the churches. And many of them have turned to their own ways. One day is just like the next. They don't keep the Sabbath day. They don't keep any day holy to the Lord. And they only want to have the fun that they can have. They remember the ads that was, "Pay me first, pay yourself first. Set up for your retirement so you can have great fun when you get older." They don't remember, and it's not advertised in these ads, that as you set up for your welfare, for your older life, that you're going to live to be old, that you're going to live and need that. They don't tell you you're going to get sick and it's going to cost that way. They tell you, enjoy life, and they think nothing of God or of eternity. We find that the rebellion of this son, as he went out and he had these great friends, and famine came upon him, upon the land, and he went and got a job raising, taking care of hogs. He says, you know, he's convicted. My father has more than he needs. My servants have more, his servants have more than they need. I will go to him and ask to be a servant. When he comes and he's a long way off, his father sees him and runs and falls on him and kisses him. And he starts doing his thing that he had thought about. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And the father stops him. And he says to the servant, bring the best robe. Bring sandals for his feet, because in those days the servants didn't have sandals. Bring our ring and put it on his finger to show he belongs to this family. And God says, if you belong to me, I will mark you in your forehead. I can give you a new name. In eternity, you'll have a name only you know, and it will be in your forehead. It'll be a name that Christ has given you, because you stood up for him and you lived for him in this world. And then we see the prodigal son. He had not only thought about it, he was convicted here. He went. We come to the cross. And we come to the cross and we say, Lord Jesus, we realize you died on the cross for us. Your blood was shed for us. Your blood covers us and we are forgiven. The prodigal son never did finish saying he would be a servant. The father accepted him back as his son. God accepts us as his children through Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross of Calvary. You see, Christ became sin so we could become righteous. We took and we have, if we have Christ as our Savior, we have Jesus' righteousness with us. God has told us, do not covet, but help those. How do we help those that don't want to listen? First, of course, is prayer. Second is that we stand fast on our salvation, that we stand fast in the Word of God, that we know the Word of God, and if someone would come to us, we can answer them, that God would forgive them their sin, that they would be convicted. And in that conviction, they will know that God is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, when that son came back to Christ, or back to home to God, to his father, and it's like us coming to Christ, we see that that son was lost because he wanted his goods and he wanted to celebrate them on himself and use them only for his own good and his own glory and all the fun he could have. And we see those in this world today, don't we? That people will go the way of the world if they're allowed to, if they don't have that conviction. If God isn't convicting them and they aren't being taught, they will say, what's in it for me? I'll get what I can because there's no more. We are to persuade and make people understand there is an eternity. And in that eternity, you're either separated from God forever or you have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord. That son was lost. Jesus says, I am the way. That son was ignorant in all his doings. Jesus says, I am the truth. That son, as the father said, he says, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. We're dead in sin. We're dead to the world. We're dead to ourselves. We're dead to Christ if we continue living in the sin that besets us. The sin of not having Jesus as our personal Lord. Jesus said, the work of my Father is to believe on him who sent me, to believe that I am the Son of God. And in that believing, you would have eternal life. You see, that son didn't believe that, so he was dead. Jesus says, I am the life. If you notice, we use John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto God the Father except by me, Jesus said. Let us be willing to come to God. Let us be willing to do God's will. Let us be willing to have God lead us and guide us, whether he wakes you up at 3 a.m. or if he comes to you in the middle of the day. Remember, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And without him, we will not have eternal life. Without him, we will not have anything but damnation. Without Christ, we cannot live except what we get here on earth, And we would always be in wonder. God gives us the peace, even in the troubled times going on in the world. Yes, we have to be careful, and we have to be concerned. But we must remember, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that is the way we get to heaven, is through Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Heavenly Father, be with us and watch over us and keep us. Help us, O God, to come home to you, to come to the cross and have you as our personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 552.